Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, you know what we think about you. We think you're a highly intelligent individual, and you're going to get smarter when you hear what Skip Miller has to say. William Skip Miller, ladies and gentlemen, is the author of so many books. I'm having to look over them here, including the first one I ever knew of, Proactive Selling. Also, Proactive Sales Management. Also, Knock Your Socks Off Prospecting, which he wrote with our great late friend Ron Zimke. And his new book is called Ultimate Sales Toolkit. He's our good friend. Skip, welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
It's good to have you back. Hey, before we get into your book, you just got back from Amsterdam. Is that right, in London?
Amsterdam and London, yeah.
What did you learn? What did you find over there in terms of the business climate, in terms of the business community? I know you were working with a lot of large companies. Maybe you didn't get down into the rank and file businesses. I don't know. But what did you find over there in terms of the economy, that kind of thing?
Let me tell you, at $2 to the pound, I found a lot of low-end people because I wasn't spending a lot of money over there.
It's 2-1, isn't it?
It is, and
in London, not the euro, but the pound.
Euro's right. About $1.40, so even though it's strong in Europe, in London, and London's, I mean, they're buying U.S. dollar futures to go ahead and they're buying a lot of U.S. products. So for the small medium business person, if you can, you probably are. If you're doing some business in London or Europe or the United Kingdom, I'd be cranking up forecasts. Because buying U.S. services and products right now is, you know, their mentality is it's half price. So
a lot of people are anxious about the dollar not having as much value, you know, being sort of devalued against some currencies. But the truth is it's actually been good for our economy, hasn't it?
Quite so, because they're buying a lot of U.S.-based products. So if you've got a London or U.K. European manager who's got a $2 million quota for the year, you know, go tell them to do 2.5, because they're buying a lot of U.S. products right now just because of the valuation. That's a good point, Jim.
Right. Okay. Got your Ultimate Sales Toolkit in front of me.
Uh-huh.
And it's a good one.
I think it's your
best one so far.
Yeah, that was fun to write. That one was, you know, writing books that, you know, when you're halfway through, you sit back and go, this is pretty good. I mean, and some are better than others. This one is really, I liked it. Yeah, thank you for that.
Well, you know, what I like about it is, now, I will say, though, I have to be honest, this is not for beginners.
No.
Do you think it is?
No. I mean, you've got to have a basic
understanding. I don't think you need to say... I think this is for the guy who already knows how to do a little bit of selling, don't you think?
These are just added tools to the toolkit. It expects somebody to have a basic sales toolkit. Somebody who's been in sales for 3, 4, 5 years, you know,
right.
And has got the basic block and tackling down. This is for them to add some more tools to their toolbox. You're exactly right.
You talk about in your book. You talk about what you call success. I'm sorry, sales success patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And you say that the average salesperson uses success patterns or tools at their disposal, but at least they have them, but do they always use them?
It's true. I mean, it's like you and I, Jim, when something breaks in the house, right? We grab our hammer, our drill, our favorite screwdriver, and, you know, we walk up 3 flights of stairs or 2 flights of stairs, and we go, oh, I need this tool. We have to walk back down, and it's the same process. If I can go on a sales call with 2 or 3 more tools, so at the point of attack, the sales call, I am better prepared to handle an objection or handle a pricing issue or something like that. I'm better off than saying, I'll get back to you tomorrow, because mm-hmm. length of sales cycles right now is hurting a lot of people.
Well, do in your opinion, do salespeople use the tools that they have when they should?
Yes, if they spend the 10 or 15 minutes before a good sales call, you know, identifying, that's why we name our tools, Jim. You know, if it could be 30-second speech, summarize, bridge, pull, value, star. You name them so you sit there and go, okay, I'm opening my toolbox, and I see the 10 tools I typically use, the two others. On this sales call, oh, man, I'm probably going to have to use this and this. So they can prepare themselves. You know, the big joke, Jim, is when salespeople prepare for their sales call, the most is between the car door and the front door.
Right, right.
As they're walking in, they're going, now, who am I calling on again? That they've got to spend a little bit more time up front preparing for sales calls.
You know, when I was working for Xerox decades ago, they taught me how to do self-analysis. And the best thing that happened to me was when I thought about my last call on the way to my next call. And yep. I learned a lot about myself and how to sell in those periods of time, maybe a few minutes or maybe an hour. Stand by, Skip. Skip Miller and I will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a lot more to come on selling, how to help you and your people become better at selling. 2012, stay with us.
There I was with the old man, stranded again, so off I'd ran. A young world crashing around me, no possibilities of getting what I need. He looked at
welcome
me,
back. It's 17 till.
He said, no,
it's Ann Wilson,
no,
ladies and gentlemen,
no,
with Heart.
No, child. See this dog.
Skip Miller is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. William Skip Miller, the author of the new book, Ultimate Sales Toolkit. And Skip, in the early part of your book, you talk about what you call the first tool, the process.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that a little bit, please.
Buyers buy in a process, and you know the whole job of salespeople is not to force a buyer through what a salesperson wants to do. That's like walking into a somewhere where the salesperson walks out, greets you, and goes, "Let me tell you everything." You know, that's forcing a buyer to go through a sales process. The best way to go through a buy process is to ask the buyer, hey, you know, let's do this for a first step. Let's go there. You know, you got to get their involvement as opposed to just, you know, do a show up, throw up thing. That just doesn't work.
Well, you know, the thing that I try to think about in selling, and ladies, I recognize that this is a guy's way to look at things, but you know, I think of selling like courtship. You know, if you're caught, when people are dating, you know, theoretically, the idea is to ultimately maybe get married. And if the guy wants to ever get the lady to say, yes, I'll marry you, he has to spend some time. They have to spend some time together. He has to find out if she's that into him, you know, as they say. And,
yep.
and if over time the relationship wears well, and if they have the same kind of values, and et cetera, till finally you can say, will you marry me? And it's the same thing with customers, isn't it?
You know, and we're going to take this analogy farther, Jim. This is going to be good. recently, in the last 3-4 months, I've been talking to a number of small, medium businesses, you know, business owners, their head of sales, and one of the questions they ask me is, you know, I feel like I'm leaving money on the table. You know, I get the order, but I walk back and I feel there's like so much more. And back to your courtship analogy, right? Just how do I feel like I've gotten all the money on the table? You know, did we satisfied the need that the company said they had, but I felt there was more we could do as our company and it just never came up. One of the tools in the book, Jim, is called the value, how to really get value. And the way I put it was, it's almost like doing 10 push-ups in the morning. You know, if you've got to get your blood going, you got to do a couple push-ups. You want to do what we call your how-whats. How and what? It should be a natural question. When a buyer's buying from you or you're actually on a sales call, ask the question, well, how are you going to use this? How is this going to impact you? You know, how that gets the buyer starting to think about, you know, what they're going to use it for. But then follow that up with, and what would that mean for you? Oh,
right.
Let me tell you what that means for you. If you really want to create value and find out where the rest of the money is on the table on your order, ask how what's when you're in your sales call. The buyer will sit there and go, well, what I'd do with that? Once I got that, then I could do this and this. And then opportunities start bubbling up. Where, you know, before you just took the order, said thanks, and got out of there quickly because you were told not to oversell.
Well, you were told you had the idea that you were supposed to sell. And, of course, if you're going to sell, they have to buy. But where is in that little discussion? Where is it about how the customer uses this, or when I used to sell for a living, like you know, every day, all day long, years
yeah.
ago. You know, I can remember going into one customer and I would make a sale because it was kind of easy. They would say, okay, I need this and I've got it. So I sold it to them and they took it and we went away. And then I remember, as you say, I remember leaving and thinking, you know what, that was too easy. I must have missed something in there. And then I'd go to the next place and I would actually say, and maybe it'd be the same thing. They'd act very eager to buy from me. And I'd say, okay, well, let me ask you a question. How are you going to use this?
Yes.
Tell me what it is that's how are you going to please humor me for 8 minutes. Walk me through the process of how you use this. And when I left, maybe I didn't sell them anything else, many more than I would have, but at least I knew that I'd given them everything that I could.
You're exactly right, and that's what customers want. They don't want salespeople selling. They want partners, and as a good partner to someone, if the buyer goes, listen, and here's how I'm going to use it, and once that, here's what I'm going to do with it, opportunities arise. And even if you can't sell them something, you can say, hey, that's just like a customer down the street, and let me tell you their best practice. Mm-hmm. And, boy, that's a value. I mean, so a salesperson can revive value.
Right.
Additionally, though, what you're going to hear, Jim, is like when you were selling Xerox copiers. It's like, and here's what I'm going to do with it. And you're like, wow, that, why wouldn't you get another copier over there? I mean, mm-hmm. all of a sudden now, what business owners and heads of sales are looking for is a term called going broad and deep in their accounts. They're in one department or they're in one organization. And you're going to do that by asking, how would you use this? And then once people tell you how, ask them, what would that do for you? Well, then I could go talk to my manufacturing department. Oh, it's a great way to go broad and deep and not walk away going, boy, I feel like a point solution to my customers and not like a partner like I want to be.
Well, not only that, but see, what a lot of people don't realize is that's what your customers want, because maybe you just help them cut out a vendor,
yep.
which could be your competitor. People want to do business with fewer numbers of companies. They want to consolidate the numbers of companies they have to do business with.
It's all about, you know, creating leverage and creating a better return on the investments they're making, because who can do business with 27 vendors? It just doesn't make sense now.
Well, vendor reduction started happening in the late 80s.
Yeah.
And it's been going on ever since. People have been culling vendors and working with just the people that they need and the people who are, as you said a minute ago, their partners. So, folks, if you want to be successful in selling in the 21st century, you'll learn how to be not just a salesperson but a partner. We're going to come back in a minute. I want to ask Skip about all these worksheets in his book. Is this like homework? Stand by. 10 till. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back. See you. Welcome back. It's 7 till. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend William Skip Miller, the author of Ultimate Sales Toolkit. That's his new book. Skip, give us your website and tell us where your book's available, please.
M3Learning.com, www.m3learning.com. And, you know, Borders and Amazon and, you know, Barnes & Noble's, all the normal places, they've got it stocked.
Wherever fine books are sold.
It was over in London. I went to a bookstore in London with my wife, and we walked in, they had my book.
Oh, man.
That was fun.
And was your wife impressed?
Yeah, because we took the book out, made it flush to the shelf, and took somebody else's book out and put it back in the normal spot.
Oh, yeah, that's a good trick. I always do that.
Hey, I want to talk about these worksheets.
Yeah, I want you to tell us why you have worksheets. Is this kind of like homework, Skip?
Yes. Life's a bell curve. You got A, B, and C players. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. And in sales, A players, salespeople, want to learn and grow. They want to be challenged. They want to take something on. If they like something, they want to do something with it. So we put in the back of the book these worksheets for every tool. I think there's like 15 tools in the book. There's a worksheet. So you can Xerox this thing. You can make a copy of it. You can, you know, actually do one before you go on a sales call. They're also available on the M3 Learning website. So if you want to download this toolkit in digital format, go for it. I mean, it's free. so get on the website, you know, go to Ultimate Sales Toolkit, download the tools. And so I'm a sales guy, and I'm saying, okay, what is this how what? What is this 20-second speech so I can leave an effective voicemail? What is this summarized bridge pull? It explains it on the worksheet and then gives you a place to actually practice one before you do one, rather than read the book, go, great idea, I'll have to put it in place sometime and never do anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, it actually helps them to use it in a practical application rather than just visualize it in their mind. And I think that's a good thing. In fact, this is what you'll find, I think, unique about Skip's books, folks, is the way he lays it out with the ability for you to just actually scratch in your comments right on the book here. It's a book/workbook.
Which is fun because we want people to use it. I mean, and I've put the worksheets in there where you can actually Xerox them. You don't have to buy 20 copies of the book if you don't want to. I mean,
right.
let's have sales be, you know, more value add to their customers as opposed to just, you know, selling for sales' sake, which is kind of different.
I appreciate that, Skip. Let me ask you a question though. Selling is different. You and I were talking about this off the air. Selling is different today. Getting in the door is different today than it was 10, 20 years ago. What advice would you have for a salesperson trying to get in the door these days?
Learn Russian.
Yeah, explain the languages again.
Feature benefit, feature advantage benefit is very good for, you know, typical salespeople, but we talk about going higher in the organization, and we call the basic users, the managers, you know, Spanish. We have Spanish, Russian, and Greek, right? And then the Russians are the VPs and the Greeks are the presidents, right? More and more value-based decisions, leverage-based decisions are being made on small business owners' products and services. They just aren't a point solution. And that decision of that vendor not being a point solution and affecting other things in the company is being made at the more senior levels, which we call Russians, in the organization. And I get all, I mean, I'm doing a class right now in New York. I came back from a couple of weeks in Europe. I was in India a couple of months ago. Anyway,
how does the Spanish, Greek, Russian thing go over in Europe?
You know what? As long as you set it up well, it does fine.
Yeah.
But we've got to get our salespeople more business knowledge that they understand, hey, if I'm a VP of manufacturing, mm-hmm. if I'm a VP of finance, if I'm a CIO, here's what's on my mind. Here's what I'm thinking about over the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the more our salespeople are educated in that rather than product knowledge, I mean, geez,
right.
that's probably one of the best things a small business owner can do for a sales team.
Don't just teach your salespeople about obviously, you got to teach them the sales skills, and they do have to know the product. But you're saying take it one step further and help them understand the structures of their customers and prospects.
You're not going to be eliminated as a vendor. You're not going to be one of those people who get downsized if you're more of a partner into their business solutions rather than, hi, want to buy a watch?
You got to get integrated, don't you?
Yes, and you've got to understand their businesses almost as well as they do, because it's the whole money on the table thing. If you understand their business, you'll understand how more you could be of value to them, and that may actually affect your product selection.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of my big customers right now is driving me in the value chain, so we're actually starting to develop a new course,
mm-hmm.
which they're helping to fund, because, I mean, what they're asking for, I see trends in. So, I mean,
right.
You really start working with your customers.
You really do, folks.
Direction.
Find a way to be a partner, and you'll be with them a long time. Skip, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next time.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Jim.
Skip Miller, ladies and gentlemen, The Ultimate Sales Toolkit. That's the name of the new book. Check it out when you get a chance. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.